And I haven't heard a lesson yet that it just hasn't been top shelf out of the five or six that have gone so far. Appreciate you being here all day. And of course, I have the task of trying to keep you awake, but I hope that won't be too big of an issue. Brethren, one more thing about these subjects. These questions of personal morals and Christian living, these doctrinal matters are just as important as anything in the Bible. And by that I mean this. We sometimes will stand up and rant and rave for weeks on end about the plan of salvation. That's fine and good. But you can go to hell just as quickly for ignoring God's word concerning how I'm supposed to live on a daily basis as I can on ignoring the plan of salvation, baptism's place in it, worship as God designed it, etc., etc. So while these may seem like subjects that we know about, I'm going to talk about Christian attire. As best I can understand, that's clothes where I come from, and how a Christian is supposed to be dressed. And you're not going to dress immodestly here and spend eternity with God in the hereafter. We must recognize the principles concerning appropriate dress. Where you live, the sun shines more days than not. It gets a little bit warm out here in the summertime. And about this time of year, as the temperature goes up, the clothes come off. And as you go down to the mall, or you go out to a restaurant, or you drive by the street, down the street, you may see anything and everything when it comes to dress. And while that should not shock us that much for those in the world to dress that way, what sometimes does shock us is how our own kids dress in the church. And how some parents try to defend such nonsense. So we're going to spend some time tonight looking at the concept of modesty. Now, modesty is more than simply the amount of clothing you have on. When you look up the Greek words that are used in the New Testament concerning this concept, the idea is appropriateness, being dressed in an appropriate fashion. It also carries with it 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and following, and then the 1 Timothy 5 passage, where Paul and Peter discuss the fact that women are to be more, especially in those contexts, more concerned with their spiritual makeup than their physical dress and appearance. Now, I would not presume to ask you, ladies, how many hours a day you spend on your face makeup and your hair in connection with how many hours a day you spend in Bible study. But that could be an indication sometimes. The more thought we put into our physical appearance, contrary to or in, out of harmony with the time that we put sometimes in our spiritual pursuits. Let's look at a few things the Bible says specifically about this. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, "In like manner, women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold pearls or costly array, but that which becometh and professeth godliness with good works." Appropriate dress for a woman is dealt with here from a spiritual standpoint. God is more interested in what we look like on the inside than on the outside. Also notice that God wants them to adorn themselves in modest apparel. I'm looking around real quick before I say this. I would never dare point to you anyway, but nonetheless, I don't see anybody in this crowd who's dressed immodestly. But sometimes we do see such things, even in the Lord's body. Now, there's nothing wrong with a woman being attractive. I see a lot of good-looking ladies out there of all ages in this crowd right now. We can certainly appreciate nice-looking ladies. And there's nothing wrong with ladies dressing to be beautiful. But there is a difference in appropriate dress and inappropriate dress. And oftentimes women, even in the Lord's church, don't give enough thought to that. We've all seen, if you've paid attention at all, girls with shirts on too small. I'd hate to venture what the size are, but I see some girls back home even, who should know better, by the way, who should be wearing a size 8 or 10, who put on a size 4 shirt. And it's about 3 times too tight and about yay short. It almost gets down to the britches line when they're standing like this. But they don't stand like this. Maybe at the moving, that thing gets to climbing up. And you begin to see belly buttons. And you get to seeing whatever's in the backside. And sometimes you see girls fighting. And I was at a ball game last year. And this girl, she had on one of these short shirts. and she had on those low-hipped pants. And by the way, I don't care if it is the style or not. We're not supposed to be overly concerned with worldly styles as Christians. We wear what is appropriate. And she was sitting there, and the whole game she tried to stay sitting, laying back against the seat behind her, because she knew it was climbing up. And when she leaned up, she's just pulling it down. I'm thinking, go buy you a t-shirt and forget about it. Buy something that fits. But oftentimes, I don't think women necessarily think enough about it. We're going to spend some time tonight talking about what actually takes place when women are dressed immodestly. God gave women tremendous power, especially over men. I forget who it was that said it. It might have been Jim Nash this afternoon when he made the comment that most guys aren't that smart. And in his case, we certainly would concur. No. But even in the Bible, that was a joke. Poor women, nonetheless. We see great men. The man Samson comes to mind. The great hero of faith. The great soldier of God, the great nemesis of the Philistines, but he was dumb as a brick when it came to Delilah. You know, about the second or third time she did what he told her to do, I think I'd have found me another girlfriend. No, I would not have. I'm just as dumb as he was, I'm sure, in that same situation, and so are you guys. Don't lie. Men aren't all that swift, and you girls know this. But sometimes I think there are some ladies who innocently, and I put that word in quotes, maybe not thinking about how they're dressed, clothing too tight, clothing not appropriate, can cause men difficulty and not even know they're doing it. And hopefully this lesson, and especially if you read the book, hopefully there's some material in there that will help us in this regard. Now, there's an article entitled A Return to Modesty, written by Wendy Shallot. And I have a section in the book about this, and I want to touch on some of this because she talks about the consequences of not recognizing the appropriate standards when it comes to dress. Everything's not okay. And she lists some things, and this is not a Christian writer. This is just a person addressing immodesty, a young women's type a journal, laying out some of the difficulties that women create when they dress in an immodest fashion. First of all, she says, immodesty is distracting. Denny was saying this morning, I don't know who the guy was, wouldn't even care to ask him. But a couple of years ago, he was in a talk with somebody from our area, a man who had quit teaching high school Bible class because the girls were dressed so inappropriately, it was hard for him to be in the room with them for an hour. Now, shame on us if we're the high school girl that has on too little clothes, to where the Christian man in the room who's trying to break the bread of life to us is at the same time trying not to look at you, trying to keep his head up, lest he fall into temptation. And she points out that immodesty is distracting. The human being has the capacity to think deeply. That's natural. And the human being has a strong sexual appetite. That's also natural. But they cancel each other out. So when a girl walks by scantily clad, all of a sudden, most men's minds drift from whatever they were thinking about to areas they should not be thinking about. And ladies, I can't speak as to what it means to be a lady, but every man in this crowd knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about dirty-minded individuals who are trying to catch a piece of skin or a glimpse of something they shouldn't see on some girl. I'm talking about faithful Christian men. And immodesty is certainly a great distraction. It causes problems. And that's not unusual. Many of our appetites are that way. You ever said this? Man, I was so hungry I couldn't concentrate. I was so thirsty, you know, I just couldn't keep my mind on what I was doing. Our appetites, when they get stirred sometimes, they distract us. Immodesty is distracting. Immodesty also can make us worry too much about what we look like. Not at all for immodest dress. But have you ever seen these girls going down the hallway, down the street with that belly shirt on? And they got a bigger belly than I do. And they got their shorts way up to here, and they got cellulite from the ankles up. That, you know, that's a problem when it comes to that kind of dress. Now, what happens to be able to get your body to wear that kind of clothing and not be embarrassed, it draws undue energy from the Christian young lady away from her spirituality to an obsession with her physical body. You got to live on Splenda and lettuce. You know that you can't eat much, and you got to drink spring water, and you got to exercise 10 hours a day so you can pour yourself in that outfit and show off body parts that no human being on the top side of this earth except your husband should ever see anyway. And it causes us to fixate on things that God would not even have you waste your time on. Bulimia, anorexia, all manner of eating disorders. Where girls in particular feel a social pressure to look like that. I don't know who the that right now would be. Jessica Simpson or whoever the model of the month is this month. But you have to try to match that and you can't do it. So you destroy yourself physically. You pour lots of energy into that situation. You're not happy with how you look. You ever do any study on bulimia and anorexia? You have these girls who are literally walking scarecrows. I mean, the ribs are showing. They've already hurt the inner linings of their throat, their mouth, their gums by throwing up. Binge and purge, binge and purge. When they look in the mirror, you know what they see? See, it is distracting. And it also makes people worry about things that God did not want them to put first to begin with. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Immodesty encourages men to act in less than honorable fashion. When you dress like a tramp, men will treat you like a tramp. Now, men should not treat you that way, but that is going to be the response that is gendered by that type of activity. Why do you think in times past we had the formal courting system that we had? You ever see The Quiet Man, John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara, you know, the old Irish set movie? I like that show. But you know, when they start that courting process, he's sitting on one side of the wagon up here and she's on the other. The little Irish guy, you know, is driving the buggy and he's saying, no patty fingers now. I mean, the guy sitting there holding the face. It was a very structured, formal program. Why do you think that was? You not realize that men have always been just as interested in casual sex as they are today? But the modesty of the day demanded higher respect and better treatment of the ladies than is oftentimes the case today. Immodesty encourages men to act in unmanly or non-manly fashion when it comes to respect of women. It allows them to do what Genesis 6 verse 5 talked about. It allows them to have their minds on evil continually. If you were bent that way, you could walk the streets of Odessa and see things that you should not see, again, outside of marriage. And we live in a fairly conservative part of the world, brethren, compared to many. Immodesty also leads to more premarital sex. About this time, you start getting rolling of eyes. Oh, yeah, here we go. Listen, you ladies may be silly enough to think that that's not a strong appetite with men. You men know better. And when you get in the high school classroom specifically, and you have boys and girls who are just coming into that aspect of their life. Their sexuality is really raging. The hormones are there. There's not much experience as far as how to control certain things in those settings. And you throw a half-naked girl in front of men, young men like that, and given the opportunity, they will fornicate, many of them, with impunity. And such is exactly what we have around us right now. So you have girls that... What's this now? When girls dress sexy, what is she doing? She's getting in tune with or in touch with her sexual self. But now when the Bible discusses the sexual relationship, by the way, there's nothing dirty or unwholesome about it. It is a beautiful phenomenon, place where God put it. But if you dress sexy, you start to feel sexy. And I'm saying in your teenage years, you shouldn't even be thinking sexy. You should be thinking algebra, right? History, college, work. There's a new one. Work ethic. Get out of the house. Get your job. Flip some hamburgers, something. But when they dress sexual, and they dress in a sexy fashion, which excites the young men, which is what they want to begin with, to get the attention of the young men. You know how you catch a bass? You get a flashy, pretty lure. Boy, you just, and he'll bite it, wham! And they're so dumb, if he gets off, you throw it back in that hole, he'll hit it again. And that's kind of how men are. So when you're playing with the sexuality, be it male or female, the hormones are engaged, And oftentimes the deed as well follows. Billy Bland one time, up in a lecture he did up in Memphis a couple of years ago, made the comment that immodest dress also contributes to an increase in abortion. Now think about this for a second. Now this is one I'd never come up with on my own. But he had run some statistical material that showed that the rape victims, there is a disproportionate amount of rape victims who were scantily clad at the time of the attack. Now, I am in no way justifying such action. Do not misunderstand my words here. But that category of ladies is more times than not the object of someone's lust, left unchecked or fueled by alcohol, which we've also talked about this week, can drive an individual to commit an act of violence against a young lady, many of which pregnancies are terminated in the case of abortion. So next time you put on that little skirt and that tube top, think about that lesson Tyler Young preached last night and some of the consequences that go with these kind of actions. This is not a joking matter. Immodesty leads to a blurring of the line between right and wrong. Again, you throw kids together, the opposite sex, and the immodesty issue is there. It doesn't take much to get a young man's mind thinking that way anyway, and you get that situation fueled by immodest dress, and all of a sudden that which, you know, Sunday morning, I've never heard a cuss word in the Lord's church. As far as I know, I don't know of any act of fornication committed by members of the Lord's church in the congregation during the assembly. Do you? But I've gotten way too many phone calls, brethren. I've had way too many young couples in my office, his voice cracking, her tears flowing. We didn't mean to, but. And now we've got a problem. Now we're 16 and pregnant. Now we're not married and he doesn't have a job and here we are. And oftentimes it starts right here, a blurring of that line of what's right and what's wrong. Why do you think the first chapter of Psalms starts as it does? Talks about the blessed man, but it also says that man of God, that person of God, doesn't walk by, stand by, or sit by the way of the sinful and the scorners. You better not play with it. Greater men and greater women than you and I have succumbed to this temptation. And the modesty issue as far as clothing, we're going to get to another aspect later, but the clothing aspect of it is very much a sexual sin that needs to be addressed. Immodesty also reduces women to nothing more than the collection of body parts. You buy a shirt that shows off your bosom if you got a nice bosom. If you don't, you should get one that shows off your posterior or whatever trait it might be that you think you have that's better than the average girl. Now, sisters, showing off your feminine form, again, only belongs to your husband. And we've got no business whatsoever dressing in such a way as to be provocative. Do you think about that word provocative? When a lady dresses in a provocative sense or provocative way, she's going to provoke a response from men. What response is it? Wow, your hair is gorgeous tonight. Is that what you think of? When some girl comes bouncing by, showing off whatever stage it is she is in life with the body that God gave her? No. It leads more to carnality, brethren, than anything else. You could also talk about with the extra involvement of premarital sex, you can talk about the increase of STDs and so forth. But that is some practical, from a worldly woman's perspective, problems caused by immodesty, and she's right on. Now, let's contrast what the Bible has said, and let's contrast what we've just looked at right here with what some of the advocates of the provocative dress have come up with. How many of y'all were alive in the 60s when the miniskirt came out? I don't see any hands come up. I see a few gray hairs out there. All right, a few of y'all were. All right. Have y'all ever heard of Mary Quant? Mary Quant is given the historical, at least, credit. I wouldn't want it by my name, but nonetheless, credit for inventing the miniskirt. And she had several things to say about this. She says that the miniskirt symbolizes the girls who do not want to wait until dark to seduce a man in bed. What's the Bible say about girls seducing men in the bed? That'd be called fornication, wouldn't it? Called whoremongering, wouldn't it? And the Bible predicates or talks about the eternal destiny of those who practice such things. She also says, the clothes worn of this type are decoration. They are provocative. They are very much, look at me, look at me. Now, girls, is that supposed to be our goal in life, to get a guy to look at us? When Rick got on Matthew 5, a while ago, verse 16, he hit on what you're supposed to be doing. Verses 13 through 16, you're the light of the world. You're the city set upon a hill. You're the salt of the earth. Men are supposed to see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what we're supposed to be accenting, is our spiritual nature. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, again, Paul talks that women are to be dressed in modest apparel. Genesis 2, 24, speaking of the woman that God gave Eve and that special sexual relationship that is to be only between the husband and wife. Hebrews 13, verse 4, the marriage bed is honorable before all. But whoremongers and fornicators, God will judge. The Bible picture of a woman, when you read Proverbs 31, you read these passages, it elevates a lady to the status, almost a poetic status. And almost an angelic being. And yet the gurus of fashion in our day reduce them to a bunch of strippers walking the streets, so far as the average dress that is pushed by the fashion industry. And brethren, why are we surprised? You ever listen to any interviews about Calvin Klein or with Calvin Klein? That's hardly a paradigm of Christian conservatism there. When you look at the lifestyles these individuals lead, you have a bunch of heathens that design the clothes. I'm not talking through my hat here. I've got two daughters and two sons. My daughters are extremely active in everything at school, every kind of sport there is. They've competed at the state level in track already and in softball. And you know what you do when you can't find a modest pair of girls' shorts at Walmart? You buy a modest pair of boys' shorts at Walmart and don't tell them it's boys. Just cut the tag out and put them on them. That's what you do. And when some coach orders a uniform that's cut too far down here, the sleeves are too big down here, you put a shirt under it. That's what you do. You make adjustments because you are a Christian. You make that which is not appropriate, appropriate. We don't compromise. Well, it's not immodesty as long as it's on, you know, a tennis court, as long as it's on a swim team, as long as it's on a drill squad, as long as it's on a cheerleader. Hey, when I can read BHS across your rear end, I'm seeing too much. That's a fact. When it comes to high school cheerleading. And we probably have a whole lesson on that sometime, those kinds of things. We have to be aware of appropriate dress and activities for God's people. Now, I'm not saying don't participate in these things, but you're going to have to make some alterations in what you wear and how you act in some of these kinds of programs. Let's talk about immodesty in the home for a second. Immodesty in the church to begin with. Start there. Now, we talked about modesty. I've been kind of picking on the girls. I'm going to get off y'all for a second, okay? We're going to talk about something else. You can be immodest in the sense of not having on enough clothing or too tight a clothing. But you can also be immodest by having on inappropriate clothing. Tomorrow morning, we should not see, I say a kid, surely no adult male would do this, but a high school kid waiting on the Lord's Supper in a Megadeth t-shirt and a pair of flip-flops. And that's not appropriate, brethren. You wouldn't go to a job interview dressed that way. You wouldn't go to a friend's funeral dressed that way. We're here to commemorate the death, a memorial feast to God's Son. And it's inappropriate to show up in a flippant attitude. So it says, well, you can't tell me how to dress. The clothes don't make the man. I tell you what, the clothes may not make the man, but the clothes tell you much about the man. Our clothes advertise what kind of person we are. You think about Moses. When he saw that burning bush, he went over there to see what was going on. And God says, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground upon which you stand is holy ground. He could have said, God, it doesn't matter. I got no shoes or not. What's wrong? I got some ugly toe fungus stuff going here. I don't want to be barefooted out here. I'm more comfortable with my sandals on. You ever hear that? It's more comfortable. Well, bless your little heart. What about appropriate? Running around naked could be comfortable too. I don't want to see y'all here like that tomorrow, right? So that's not a good argument. Well, God, I don't want to take my shoes off. I don't care. What if Moses would have said that? What would you have thought? Why, you arrogant twit. God said, get your shoes off. And over and over and over again, in both the Old and New Testament, this concept of being appropriately dressed comes into play. Believe it or not, I did an entire lecture, and I would have never done this, but it was an assignment, down outside of San Antonio last year, on the dress of the priest in Leviticus chapter 6. And there is a lot in the Bible about appropriate dress when it comes to worship. A lot in the Bible. I'm not saying it's a sin not to have a coat and tie on. But brothers, especially as you work in the public sphere of worship, John 4:24, our mind is supposed to be focused correctly. We're supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I believe he deserves better than whatever I can grab off the floor as I head out the door. I'll put some thought in how we appear in that regard as well. Now, here's a couple of Bible examples from the standpoint of showing us the dangers of immodesty. The greatest one in my mind is King David. King David is out taking a walk. He shouldn't have been there, should have been off at battle. I think that verse is in there on purpose when God says, at the time when the king should be at battle, he wasn't. And brothers, an idle mind is a devil's play shop, a workshop or something. I heard that somewhere. It's not the Bible, but that's a true principle. And he was idle, walking around, looking around, and he saw Bathsheba, a beautiful woman, taking a bath. And there's no reason to draw you a picture. You can figure out real quick by his response what he saw. It was enough to excite him to the point of asking about her. When he asks about her, they tell him she is Uriah's wife. Now, brethren, this is long after the Ten Commandments. He knew thou shalt not commit adultery, but commit adultery he did, didn't he? Tried to cover it up. Killed a man to hide his sins. Now, here's my point. And ladies, this goes back to what I said earlier about the power you have over men. This was not some shallow, not very committed young man. This was a hoss in the service of God. This was the man who had slain and severed the head of Goliath when nobody else would stand up. This is the man who for 20 years waited his time and would not kill King Saul because he respected God's authority to anoint and to dethrone that man on his own schedule. This is the man who built the city of David, Jerusalem, to what it was. This was a great man. And yet Bathsheba is taking a bath where she can be seen. I don't know the layout of his palace. I don't know the layout of her house. But I know she should have been aware of prying eyes. Now, I tend to lay the bulk of the blame on David. But had she not been where he could see her, this story would not have been written. He commits the deed because it begins with a look. He lingers in the look, apparently, and begins to lust. You ever heard this nonsense? And man, I'm talking straight at you now. We've all heard this. Well, it don't hurt anything to look, just as long as you don't touch. That's not what Jesus said. If we commit lust in the heart, we've committed adultery with her already. When we lust in our hearts after the individual, you know why? Because it said elsewhere, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And those images, nude women, scantily clad women, that individual woman is only to be seen in that situation by her husband. And we're only to be peering at our wives, no one else in that regard. What he should have done is what we should have done. If somebody walks by you, you've got to turn your head. Last night, I won't call who told me. I was trying to figure out how to get where Jeff wanted to go eat. And somebody said, you go down the road and you see Hooters on the right and you turn left. I hope nobody here has ever eaten there. I was in San Antonio a while back down the riverboat eating at Chili's. Chili's and Hooters bump up against each other. That's a bad word there, but they come together there on that river walk there in the mall. I'm sitting facing the Hooters side. And I ate my hamburger like this, had a feel for my face. But you know what? That's what you better do rather than look and lust. And ladies, not to be overly crass, but undergarments do wonders when it comes to summertime shirts. We need to make sure before we leave the house that we are dressed appropriately and we consider others and not just ourselves. Another aspect here, another example, would be Judah and Tamar. Tamar had been in mourning in the widow's garb. Judah's wife had died. He had gone down to the Adulamite's place to shear his sheep. She heard about it. First thing she does, she takes off the garb of the widow. She puts on the garb of a harlot. She went down and sat where she knew he would see her. He saw the veil. He assumed by her dress that she was a harlot. And of course went in unto her and purchased her for the night. And so you know the story. Her dress advertised who she was. Here are some other warnings. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Christ there says, this is the verse I alluded to a moment ago. You have said that you have heard, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in the heart. And most men will satisfy their conscience by saying, well, but I would never consummate the deed even if I had the chance. That's not what he said. See, there is a certain kind of carnal lust that is satisfied merely at the looking. And that, too, we are to avoid. We must give all diligence to watch how we dress. Ladies, you're not just responsible for how you dress. You're responsible as much as you can be for how you're going to be perceived by those in the world. Prostitutes learned a long time ago. You dress a certain way. You show that you're interested in the sexual activity. And you'll get men's attention. And far too many today advertise the same message, though they may be non-prostitutes, technically speaking. When you wear that dress, you're advertising the same situation. Paul warned us to abstain from every appearance of evil. Jesus, in Matthew 18, verse 16, warned us about becoming stumbling blocks to other people. Now, I want to get a little more specific in the time we have left. I want to talk point blank to about two different categories of people. First of all, talk to parents. Before that, talk to fathers. What are we thinking when we let our little girls, that same little angel who came about this big, who drooled on your shoulder, who's had you read that same silly book over and over? Mine used to be young enough I could just make stuff up, just turn pages and just say whatever. I didn't know. And read it again, read it again. And again, they got the feather. You skipped the page, you know, page 47. How do you know? I don't know. I had to read it again. Those same kids that put a lump in your throat when you looked at them, how precious and pure and innocent they were. And we let them leave the house with half their thighs showing, two-thirds of their breasts showing, who knows what else showing. What are we thinking? And you look out and say, well, you know, I don't approve of it. You bought the stuff, or you gave her the credit card to buy the stuff. I don't care if a friend gave it to her. When they come out of the room dressed that way, get back in there and change. Come out dressed that way again. Say, where'd you get that stuff? And pile it out here on the floor. I'm fixing to burn it. And get in there and get some clothes on. And sometimes women are part of the problem. Our wives sometimes don't support this. Oh, honey, you're being silly. Let her be a girl. Now, brothers, you are to wear the pants in your house. You are to be the head of the house. And you, above all others, know exactly how men are going to view and ogle your little girl if she gets outside dressed like that. We have pedophilia running rampant. We have monsters of every stripe on the internet trying their best to seduce girls right and left in front of us. And get them trot outside half naked. You are doing your daughter no favor. And oftentimes we take the coward's way out. We want to be the good guy. I wish you wouldn't wear that, but you didn't wear it anyway. That's not your job. Your job is to lay down some rules and to enforce them. I don't care if they hate your guts. When they get older, they will appreciate the stand that you took. And if they don't, you've done the right thing. Men, you know exactly what that kind of dress does to men. And that's not how we want the world looking at our little girls, is it? And my boys get big enough, that's not the kind of little girls I want them sitting by at church. Because it's hard. It's hard enough to maintain your purity in this permissive society anyway. Let alone we have nonsense like this taking place. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, God has told us to raise up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Brothers, that's your job. If I let my daughter, Shelby or Michaela, either one, go out of the house immodestly dressed, especially as they get a little older and begin to develop as young ladies, It is just as much a sin for me to do that as to get up in this pulpit right here and preach faith-only salvation. It is just as wrong in the eyes of God. We've got to stand up and be men once again and lead our homes. You realize the psychologist will tell you that two-thirds of that of girls that dress that way, it is a cry for help anyway. They want their daddies to step in and to give some guidance to the house. But whether they want it or not, they're going to get it. They should. From godly fathers and mothers. And we shouldn't have that kind of clothing in our house to begin with. Without proper training, brethren, hey, think about this for a second. Proverbs 22, verse 16. Matthew 26, 41 through 46. Without proper training, our children will more than likely lose their souls. That's all that really matters in our life. You realize that? It doesn't matter how much land I accumulate over in Brown County. It doesn't matter how many goats or sheep or cattle I have. It doesn't matter how much money I put back or how many sermons I preach. If my four kids grow up not knowing, not having heard, and not being directed in the ways that are right, I have failed as a parent. And so have you. My God-given obligation is to be the grown-up. And many of us need to grow up and to oblige them to dress in proper fashion. And they stink the clothes at school and change in a locker in a gym or something, and you find out about it, ground their hineys till they graduate. You do what you've got to do. But you protect them because they don't even have the wherewithal to make the right decisions, brethren. They're going to do what everybody else does, given the opportunity. Even good kids will surprise you sometimes as to how they'll give in to peer pressure. It's our job as parents to stand up and take care of these matters. We'll close with a word of encouragement to elders, Bible class teachers, preachers, deacons, and all you other members in the congregation. Encourage parents and encourage kids to dress in a fashion that is appropriate. And when we have somebody in our midst who will not do such, we need to encourage them. And if they persist, elders, we need to rebuke them. It's not just the preacher's job to get up here and thunder away. It's our job to preach the truth. It's the shepherd's job to take care of the problem when it comes to a head like that. We need to address this matter. You know why? It's just like when you see somebody who won't correct their child. You ever seen a spoiled brat? I mean, just throw a hissy fit, get out of Walmart right in front of you. And I want some candy. No, you can't have it. And they just start throwing this big old fit. And mama reaches over and gets the candy bar and says, here, take it. She has reinforced that bad behavior, right? If we allow our children to go down this road, we are dooming them to all the other subjects we've talked about this week. We're dooming them to being seen as objects of lust. We're dooming them to be pressured into fornication situations. We're dooming them to have to face the abortion issue personally. We're dooming them to have to deal with the STD situation. We're dooming them to perhaps even become involved in the pornography and things of that nature that are going to be dealt with tomorrow. This is not a joking matter. You know, we have two camp sessions, and y'all are certainly co-workers with us in that, and we appreciate so much the work you do with us in that regard. And every year, we've got to send out a dress code. Do you see the irony in that? I shouldn't have to spend hours typing up and sending out what you can and can't wear. And I'll tell you what, I'll kiss your foot if somebody won't show up and won't have, well, this is the only shirts I've got. I mean, tight, short, no sleeves, hanging out. And I can accommodate them. We got t-shirts. You can wear the same t-shirt every day you're here for all I care. But you're not wearing that. When they're at my house, they're not going to dress that way. And brethren, as I said, this is a good bunch. And I know anybody sit here 6 hours tonight, we're trying. I know we're trying. But let's encourage each other. Elders, preachers, teachers, let's all help these parents. And y'all help me. My day is coming, I know, when these struggles come along. Let's encourage each other and let's reinforce what is taught from the pulpits and Bible classes. And together, as we heard earlier today, we can stand up against the inroads the world has made on us in the area of appropriate dress. Brethren, thank you for your attention.